The house will come to order and the clerk will call the roll.
Bellamy, Brigati, Bugis, Burroughs, Byers, Campbell, Cease, Cherry,
here.
Crest, Cohen, Davis, Duff, Edwards, Fadley, Fabush, Ford, Frohmeyer, Gardner, Gilmore, Grinnell, Hanneman, Johnson C., Johnson E., Jones, Kafori, Katz, Cairns, Kitzhaber, Klein, Lindquist, Lombard, Magruder, Markham, Mason, Monroe, Myers, Otto, Pisha, Priestley, Richards, Rebel, Riken, Rogers, Rutherford, Riles, Schoon, Simpson J., Sinsamam, Smith, Starr, Stevenson, Troop, Van Vliet, Whalen, Wilhelm, Wolfer, Yee, Zajon.
All are present. The Sergeant at Arms will admit the members of the Senate and the staff. The Sergeant at Arms of the House will escort the President of the Senate to the rostrum.
Welcome to the inaugural ceremony of Governor-elect Victor Atiyah. The music in the rotunda today has been provided by the 234th Army National Guard Band under the direction of Chief Warrant Officer Earl Barton. The organist is Margaret Black. The Sergeant-at-Arms of the Senate will now seat the members of the Senate. The Secretary of the Senate will now call the roll of the Senate.
Brown,
here.
Bullock,
here.
Burbidge,
yes.
Cook,
here.
Day, Fadley,
yes.
Gardner,
here.
Browner,
here.
Halleck, Hanlon,
yes.
Hannon,
here.
Hartung,
here.
Hurd,
here.
Isham,
here.
Jernstedt,
here.
Kafori,
here.
Kulongoski,
here.
McCoy,
here.
Meeker,
here.
Potts,
here.
Powell,
here.
Ragsdale,
here.
Ripper,
here.
Roberts,
here.
Smith,
here.
Thorne,
here.
Trow, Wingard, Wires,
here.
President Bowe.
Here. The Chief Clerk of the House will now call the roll of the House.
Achilles, Bauman, Bellamy, Jotty, Bugis, Burroughs, Byers, Camel, Cease, Cherry, Crest, Cohen, Davis, Duff, Edwards, Fradley, Wabish, Ford, Frohmeyer, Gardner, Gilmore, Grinnell, Hanneman, Johnson C., Johnson E., Jones, Kafori, Katz, Cairns, Kitzhaber, Klein, Lindquist, Lombard, Magruder, Markham, Mason, Monroe, Myers, Otto, Pisha, Priestley, Richards, Riebel, Riken, Rogers, Rutherford, Riles, Schoon, Simpson J, Simpson N, Smith, Starr, Stevenson, Troop, Van Vliet, Whalen, Wilhelms, Wolfer, Yee, Zijon.
The chair now recognizes Representative Davis.
Move a committee of four be appointed to escort the former governor within the bar of the House.
Representative Davis now moves that a committee of four be appointed to escort the former governors within the bar of the House. Those in favor will signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The motion is carried. The chair will now appoint Representatives Achilles and Crest and Senators Burbage and Meeker as the committee. The chair now recognizes Senator Hurd. Senator Hurd now moves that a committee of four be appointed to escort the state officials within the bar of the House. Those in favor of the motion will signify so by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The motion is carried. The chair will now appoint Senators Hurd and Ripper and Representatives Whalen and Jones as the committee. The chair now recognizes Representative Klein.
I move that a committee of four be appointed to escort the chief judge and the associate judges of the Court of Appeals within the bar of the House.
Representative Klein has now moved that a committee of four be appointed to escort the chief judge and the associate judges of the Court of Appeals within the bar of the House. Those in favor of the motion will signify so by saying aye.
Aye.
And those opposed, no. The motion is carried. The chair will now appoint Representatives Richards and Rutherford and Senator Kulongoski and McCoy as the committee. The chair now recognizes Senator Fadley.
I move that a committee of four be appointed to escort the chief justice and the associate justice
Senator Fadley has now moved that a committee of four be appointed to escort the Chief Justice and the Associate Justices of the Supreme Court of Oregon within the bar of the House. Those in favor of this motion will signify so by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The motion is carried. The chair will now appoint Senators Fadley and Cook and Representatives Gardner and Frohnmeyer as the committee. The chair now recognizes Senator Jernstedt. Senator Jernstedt has now moved that a committee of four be appointed to escort the governor-elect, the Honorable Victor Atiyah, within the bar of the House. Those in favor of this motion will signify so by saying aye.
Aye.
And those opposed, no. The motion is carried, and the chair will now appoint Senators Jernstedt and Groner and Representatives Hanneman and Wilhelms as the committee. The chair now recognizes Representative Grinnell.
I move the committee of four be appointed to escort the Honorable Bob Straub, governor of Oregon, within the bar of the House to deliver his farewell statement to the Joint Assembly.
Representative Grinnell now moves that a committee of four be appointed to escort the Honorable Bob Straub, Governor of Oregon, within the bar of the House to deliver his farewell statement to the Joint Assembly. Those who are in favor of this motion will signify so by saying aye.
Aye.
And those opposed, no. The motion is carried. The chair will now appoint Representatives Myers and Fadley and Senators Hannon and Isham as the committee. This time we would ask all of our guests to please remain seated until the distinguished guests arrive. This is Representative Achilles. You will escort the former Governor McCall to the section reserved for him. The chair now recognizes Senator Hurd.
Mr.
You will escort the elected state officials to the first level of the rostrum. The chair now recognizes Representative Richards.
I'm sorry, Mr. President, I don't have a script.
Well, that's the way it goes. Representative Richards. You will escort the Chief Judge and the Associate Judges to the rostrum. Chair now recognizes Senator Fadley.
Mr. President, I have the honor to present the Honorable Arno H. Dedeke, Chief Justice of Oregon, and Associate Justices Ralph M. Coleman, Thomas H. Towns, Edward H. Powell, Dean F. Bryson, Berkeley Lynch, and Hans A. Lindley.
Senator Fadley, you will escort the Chief Justice and the Associate Justices to the rostrum. The chair now recognizes Senator Jernstedt. The chair now recognizes Representative Myers.
President, I am honored to present the Governor of Oregon, the Honorable Robert W. Frost.
You will escort While we remain standing, the Oregon Military Academy Color Guard will post the colors. I would ask you to please remain standing for the national anthem, which will follow, which will be performed for us by the Forest Grove High School Choir, Rod Rasmus, the director. They will then go into the state song, Oregon, My Oregon, the words of which you will find on the back of your panel, and we would ask that you all join with us in singing the Oregon State Song at the appropriate time. The colors will now be presented.
So proudly we hail at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare.
Invocation will be given by the Reverend Gary McInnes, Chaplain of Adult Services. You'll please remain standing. Chaplain McInnes.
I invite each person here in the Capitol building and throughout the good state of Oregon to turn to God in prayer. God of the ages, present to us in this moment of time, look kindly upon this political body which has assembled here in order to accept the responsibilities which the people of this state have given to their elected representatives. We pray for the governor and for all those in government. We call upon you to give them the wisdom and understanding they need in order to govern fruitfully. We call upon you to give them the courage and strength they need in order to fulfill the responsibilities entrusted to them. We call upon you to give them the compassion and sensitivity they need in order to serve the interests of the people. Give them a creative hand in shaping the future, and do not let them be unduly influenced by special interest groups, by power seekers, and by those who would manipulate the machinery of government for their own gain. Above all, give them the certain knowledge that you are with them and will guide them in the ways of justice and truth. We place these men and women in your keeping. Protect them from greed and falsehood. But if some among them should betray the public trust, then may they be moved aside so that others might lift up the standard of good and honest government. May all know that you alone are God, now and forever. Amen.
It is now my pleasure to introduce and to present to you the Honorable Bob Straub, Governor of Oregon, who will deliver at this time his farewell statement. Governor Straub.
Thank you very much. Governor-elect Victor Attia, Governor Tom McCall, Mr. President, Mr. Speaker, ladies and gentlemen of the 60th Legislative Assembly, distinguished members of the press, and honored guests. As I stand here this morning, I feel awed by a sense of history and pride that the people of Oregon have honored me in a page or two of that history. I said that I felt awed by a sense of history. This office does that to you. This office has a way of humbling those who serve it. Generations of men and women pass, but the functions of Oregon continue. And that's the beauty of this democracy. It is the offices, the traditions, the rituals of state that give continuity and strength to this great system of ours. And we men and women who fill these offices are elevated by them. Today I leave this office, but I know I leave it in the hands of one who shares with me a respect and concern for the welfare of the people of this state. For we have both worked on their behalf in our different capacities for the past 20 years. Today I leave this office, but I leave it filled with a sense of pride and accomplishment. We've plowed much new ground. 4 years past, when I stood here before you, I said there was an economic chill across this land. In 1978, Oregon enjoyed one of its strongest economic years. And beyond the economy, we developed, with the legislative help, the Domestic and Rural Power Authority, a great state public utility which holds the promise of equity for our ratepayers with those of our neighbors to the north in the state of Washington. We created social programs to help guarantee all our citizens a decent life of human dignity without dire want. For our young, we adopted the most far-reaching school finance reform package since the end of World War II. For our elderly, we expanded Project Independence and other plans designed to let them live their lives to the fullest with independence, dignity, and meaning. We began a new partnership with state and local governments, sharing revenues and responsibilities. But that's all now a part of our past, the history of our endeavors, and as far as we have come, we still have a long way to go. We will not have done enough in this state so long as one person lives in want. We will not have done enough so long as one of our citizens lives in need of food or shelter or medical care. We will not have done enough until we have solved such problems, because I believe the true measure of any society is the way it cares for those who are unable to care for themselves. This is a time of challenge, a time of opportunity, a time for conviction, a time for moderation. The growth that has often seemed to threaten the beauty and livability of this state must be managed, or it will surely manage us. In the areas of energy and industry growth, it's hard to deal with people who refuse to moderate, no matter what the cost to others, no matter what the reality of the situation. Our times can little afford such rigidity. The outstanding English essayist E.P. Snow wrote, quote, "The sooner intellectuals realize that industry is the one hope of the poor, the sooner we shall get hold of a social purpose again. We must have industry, and we must have the energy to power it. So much depends on that. It adds livability to life. We've tried in Oregon to develop industry without violating our sacred trust to preserve this land for those who follow after us. We must continue our effort to preserve the land, for it is the land, finally, which will shape our future and give scope and meaning to our dreams. It's how we live today in relation to our land and its rivers and forests that will determine our future and the future of our children and their children after them. As the needs for growth and economic development conflict with our natural resources, we will find issues increasingly harder to understand, decisions more difficult to make, and a broad consensus hard to come by. Because of that, it is more imperative now than ever before that we find ways to remain flexible in our thinking, honest in our appraisal, and resilient in the ways we meet the problems confronting us. We must learn to seek a middle ground between those with a no-growth attitude and those with a live-now-pay-later attitude. We must find what the ancient Greeks called the golden mean, the position of moderation between two extremes. That is the sacred trust our citizens place in us." These words of the great English parliamentarian Edmund Burke have always had special meaning to me. He wrote, "Your representative owes you not his industry only, but his judgment. And he betrays you instead of serving you if he sacrifices it to your opinion." I believe that, and I hope I have been faithful to that call. Now the time has come to pass the mantle. I quote some words from the Rubaiyat of Omar Khayyam that many of you know. "The moving finger writes, and having writ, moves on. Nor all thy piety nor wit shall lure it back to cancel half a line, nor all thy tears wash out a word of it. I will miss these halls, but more I will miss the people, my dedicated staff, and the state employees who deserve special commendation for their unstinting effort on behalf of the people of this state. Vic, Governor Attia, I wish you well. I'm at your service as you deem I can be useful. I wish for you a term filled with action, purpose, and accomplishment. I wish for you the rewards of those moments when dreams become reality. I wish for you all success, because your success becomes that of the people of this great state of Oregon.
Thank you, Governor Straub, for those inspiring and heartfelt words. At this time, the Speaker of the House of Representatives, Howard Cherry, according to the provisions of the Oregon Constitution, will now canvass and publish the vote cast in the last general election for the office of Governor of the State of Oregon. Mr. Speaker.
As provided under Section 4, Article 5 of the Oregon Constitution, I, Howard Cherry, Speaker of the House of Representatives, have hereby examined the voting returns from the last general election for the office of Governor of the State of Oregon and find that the Honorable Victor Attia has received the highest number of votes cast for the office and has been duly elected Governor.
The inaugural prayer will now be given by the Reverend Robert F. Graff, Rector of St. Barnabas Church in Portland.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, bless the leaders of our land that we may have a world fit to live in today and forever. Give them wisdom and grace as they carry out their duties. And especially we pray for Victor, now to be the governor of our state and our people. Guide him and his staff to make wise decisions which will increase the opportunities of a happy life for us all. Let them have courage, wisdom, and foresight to provide for the needs of our people. Keep Victor steady in his dedication and responsibility to seek the well-being of all people. And in what will not be an easy life, help him and his family to be strong. Let your blessing be upon him. Keep him humble. Never let his trust in you fail. Amen.
At this time, the chair would ask Representative Burroughs and Senator Smith to please escort Mrs. Victor Attia to the rostrum. The Honorable Arno Denneke, Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of the State of Oregon, will now administer the oath of office to the Honorable Victor Attia, Governor-elect of the State of Oregon.
You want to take Travis? place your right hand on the Bible, please, and repeat after me. I, state your name.
I, Victor Atiyah.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the State of Oregon.
Constitution of the State of Oregon.
And that I will faithfully discharge.
And that I will faithfully discharge.
The duties of Governor of the State of Oregon.
The duties of Governor of the State of Oregon.
According to the best of my ability.
According to the best of my ability.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Congratulations, Governor.
We will now hear the inaugural address of the Honorable Victor Atiyah, newly sworn in official Governor of the State of Oregon. Governor Atiyah.
Thank you all. President, Mr. Speaker, Governor Straub and Governor McCall, members of the 60th Legislative Assembly, distinguished elected officials, fellow Oregonians. 4 years ago, we welcomed to this chamber the man who had defeated me for the office he occupied. 8 weeks ago, he welcomed me to that office, the oath for which I've just taken. Bob Straub, for the extraordinary cooperation of your staff in the recent transition, but more, for your many years of dedicated service to this state, I say on behalf of myself, my staff, and the people of Oregon, all of us, thank you and Godspeed. On a personal note, I share this day with many, many others, but most of all with my family, and especially the one who's been along on every hill and valley of the way, my wife, Dolores. It's a beautiful day in Oregon. It's the greatest day of my life, and it could be a great day for all of you who share with me the highest honor, the greatest responsibility that our fellow Oregonians can confer, the stewardship of their system of law. In the months ahead, you as legislators will be faced with thousands of decisions, thousands of judgments on how we in Oregon should live our lives. As only recently, one of you, I know how easy it is to view the legislative agenda as a kaleidoscope, tumbling fragments of varying shapes and colors, each bearing little or no relation to the other. A vote on energy may follow a hearing on criminal justice. A meeting with farmers may follow a debate on municipal bonding. In this kaleidoscope, a unity of design, a consistency of principle, is very elusive. I have previously offered you, and in the days ahead will continue to present to you, specific legislative proposals. But today, before you take up one by one the many concerns and demands that will be pressed upon you, I ask you to step back a moment and consider some fundamental harmonizing principles which I believe should guide us all in what we do. For 20 years in public service, I have heard Oregonians talking. I've heard the voices of different ages, different races, different stations, and different convictions. But the more I listen, the more the voices blend into one. A true common voice of the people of Oregon expressing common concerns. As I've listened in recent years, I've heard that voice rise to an anguished scream of anger, a cry of frustration at promises broken and a government becoming more remote. Almost two centuries ago, Thomas Jefferson cautioned us that the only safe depository of the ultimate powers of society is in the people themselves. But today, our people feel that power, the power to govern themselves, not only slipping from their hands, but in some cases being deliberately snatched from them. Oregonians, like their fellow Americans, see a government becoming increasingly preoccupied with the form of government rather than its substance. Where they've asked for justice, for opportunity, for security, and for health, they've been given departments, commissions, and bureaus bearing those names. Too often, their cries have been smothered under a crust of elitists in government who cogitate, regulate, and promulgate from behind soundproof walls. Where once our people asked government to stand by their side, today they ask government simply to stand aside. The cardinal sin of government in our time has been an arrogant assumption that all wisdom resides in it, and the conceit that government can dictate its people's wants. It has been well said that government is the art of the possible. And I say to you that it is possible for a government to act effectively only where it acts in harmony with its people. Where it acts in discord, government invites rebellious backlash and, perhaps worse, the terrible silent apathy. The plain fact is that given the light to see the truth, our people will decide their destinies better than any elite, elected or not. Therefore, in the business of government, we should ask first, what do our people want? What are their goals, their priorities? Then we should ask if the devices we set in motion truly serve the desires of the people. An employment division should help people find jobs. A department of education should help education, and a commission on aging should help make aging a time of tranquility, not a time of fear and uncertainty. Those are fundamental goals of our people, and we must honor them over the efforts of some to make our agencies an end in themselves, and over the efforts of others to make public agencies serve the goals of only a few. Where our people ask for protection, let us protect them. Where they ask for assistance, let's assist them. And where they ask simply to be left alone, let us leave them alone. As I urge you to listen to our people, I promise to lead by example. I have and will continue to listen. And not just to those people who have the means and the urgency to press their case in Salem. I will go to our people to listen. I will go to every county in this state. I will be in your own communities. Not talking to you, but meeting with you. I will establish listening posts in every area of the state, from the towns of eastern Oregon to the districts of our cities, where people can gather together as often as they need to express their concerns to people who will talk directly to me. I will listen to you, the elected representatives of our people, and to the many dedicated workers in our government who truly want to serve people. I will listen to all. Let no one think, however, that when you and I promise to listen, we abdicate our responsibility. No one wants the hard choices of government to be made solely on the basis of the latest opinion poll or on the basis of which group can put the loudest crowd on the Capitol steps. We will listen to our people, all our people, to hear their true goals, the common objectives that survive the passions of the moment. But the responsibility rests with us to find the best way to achieve these goals. It is for us to sort through the maze of arguments and evidence to decide how best to honor the call for justice, security, and opportunity. Simply put, our message to Oregonians is this: set us the task, and we will choose the tools. If there's one task above all that our people have set for us, now it is this: we must arrest the vicious cycle of increased government spending and increased taxation.